to prepare to receive the word of God by way of our pastor, Elder Kim. Could we all greet him with a mighty praise the Lord?
Amen. Amen. Truly, we do thank the Lord for being in the house of the Lord one more time. And we thank God for all the testimonies, beautiful testimonies of what we're coming. Amen. I used to know friends. I used to do a little interpreting, but I kind of got to brush up on my French. But we do thank God for the testimony, those that had a mind to give God praise and thanks. Can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that everything they have, prayer, do what?
Praise the Lord.
Come on now, y'all are like a quiet church. Amen. Let everything they have, prayer, do what?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So we praise the Lord today because of his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness. Amen. We thank God for my wife as she says she's been pressing. Amen. We bless the Lord for where he brought her from. Last week we went to a convention and the first couple of days she didn't come out the room. But look at her now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes that song is so true. I'm so glad she don't look like me.
Come on.
What she's been through.
Yes.
Amen. Isn't that a testimony?
Yes.
Amen. She doesn't look like what she's been through. Just the mind to press. So every time I get a little ache and pain, I can't stay off because she's a witness against me.
All right.
We're in the same house, and against you. So we just thank the Lord for her. We thank God for all of you. We thank God for bringing Mother Ford all the way over these dangerous highways.
Yes.
Your mama's from the city, is that right? Amen. We thank God for bringing you safely and for your testimony and for you being in the house of the Lord with us today. Amen. We just bless the Lord. We thank God for all that he's doing. And what I like to do is I like to teach a spiritual application, but then I like to give a biblical illustration to help represent that illustration. So that's what we're planning to do today. Amen. So let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. James Jordan snuck that in on us. We would not have known anything about that book in its entirety if that man had not sent me the letter.
All right.
Did you do everything in that book for real? Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Every picture, every graphic. That's a talent.
Yeah.
I think somebody said, you're in the wrong business. Amen. We do bless the Lord. God, God's a wonderful God. He's a marvelous God. You never know how God takes little things to open big doors. So be faithful at what you do. God takes little things and he opens big doors. Then he tells us in the book of Revelation, I'll open a door before you that what? No man can close. Amen. And I heard a preacher preaching when he said, well, the church has so many open doors, but we just don't walk through them. If God opens that door, we need to walk through them. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to turn to Psalms, the 92nd division of Psalms. This morning we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then skip down and read verses 12 and 15. Now this book of Psalm is the only psalm that the Lord gives the title is a song for the Sabbath day. Now all of us that know history know today is not the true Sabbath day. We all know the Catholic Church changed the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday in order to worship for the sun god. But we're here, so we're going to let it be the Sabbath day. Amen. So this psalm is a psalm for the only psalm, if you go through the whole book from 1 to 150, this is the only psalm that brings recognition to the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day, Jesus asked, was the Sabbath day made for man or man for the Sabbath?
Yeah.
Was the Sabbath day made for man or man for the
Sabbath?
Yeah. But we know God made the what? Sabbath day. Amen. Because the Sabbath day represents the seventh day, which is the day he rested. For 6 days, no care, we'll scream you out later on that. I heard what you mean. He'll fix you on that one. But we know 6 days he created the heavens and earth.
That's right.
And on the seventh day he
rested. Yes.
Now there's a spiritual looking in that, right? Because God is not resting. So what day must we be here?
6 days.
Because on the seventh day he
rested.
If God can't rest, if God rests, we won't be healed. We won't be saved and we won't be delivered. Right? So that's something you can look into in your own spare time. We're still in the 6th day. So the 7th day represents God's rest. Now, a lot of times people are using the Sabbath day. Say, well, God says honor the Sabbath day just supposed to lay home and do nothing. That's not what the Sabbath means. Honor the Lord and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So holy, you can't just stay home. Well, this is my Sabbath. I'm taking a rest. You can't rest outside of God because the Sabbath represents the rest of God. So how do you rest in God outside of God? I ain't gonna mess with that too much because that's gonna take long. But this is the only song for the Sabbath day. And it begins in verse 1 and says, it is a good thing on the Sabbath. It is a
good thing.
Lord, thank you. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to
praise
the
Lord.
Church, we allow situations to bog our minds down so much, and when there's a testimony service, we look around the council. Well, I can stand up. Listen, you ought to always have a praise for God. The psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, if it had not been for the Lord that made ways out of no way, where would I be? If it had not been for the Lord of your life, where would you be? So it's not just a small thing for us to get up and give them a praise and a thank you and to sing a song for how good has God been good to anybody today. I said, hey, God, you are to have a praise. Amen. When we have testimony service, everybody will jump up to this and say, no more standing after about 100 people that already stood up. Amen. You ought to have a praise. Stop allowing the adversary to rob you of God's praise. You're not praising yourself. You're praising the Lord for what? For his goodness. For his mercy. For his kindness. Every day we mess up, but I heard Jeremiah say his mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Can we sing a hallelujah? So on the Sabbath, even though it might not be the right day, I'm in church. So since I'm here, I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to give my thanksgiving. I'm going to lift my voice in exhortation and say, Lord, I thank you. How God, I bless your name.
Hallelujah.
Y'all think make me preach the verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy on this day, I'm going to praise God in the morning. And it's not going to end in the morning. I'm going to show because God is faithful. I'm going to do it all day. And we praise the Lord in the morning or the afternoon. Then we go home and we're the most grumpiest, meanest people the rest of the day. Lord, thank you. Y'all ain't got to talk to me. I know it's true. Right? We come into church and we praise God. Then we leave out of church and go pick up all those problems. Hallelujah. You're supposed to bring your problems to the Lord and do what? Leave them there. So the psalmist said, I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to do it in the morning. And I'm going to be faithful to the nighttime. In other words, I'm going to have an all day praise. Can we say all day praise?
All day.
Come on, say all day praise.
All day praise.
I'm not going to just praise you because I'm in church. The psalmist said, when I see of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul can't help but cry out.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you for saving me. Verse 3, he said, upon the instrument of 10 strings. And upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a, oh God, I'm going to give you a good sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me. Listen, if you're in church, I don't care what your situation, you ought to be glad. I said you ought to be glad. Why? It's God, the Bible said, that worketh in us both the will and the doing his own good pleasure. So God is working in you. You ought to be glad. Well, why? Verse 12, it said, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Let me remind you of Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall. Why? Because I'm righteous. Righteous means I'm doing what's right in the eyes of God. Can the church say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall
flourish.
Lord, I'm not here just making. I'm not here just surviving, but I am flourishing. I'm not just in a survival mode, but God is blessing me abundantly. Why? Because I'm planted in the house of the Lord. What does that mean? No devil in hell can take me out of church. Hallelujah. No trial can take me out of church. You can say what you want to say about me, it can't take me in church. Why? I'm planted. Anybody planted? If you're a man, nothing can take you out of church. Can we say hallelujah? They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in. I've been young, Lord bless you. And now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken. I am bringing forth fruit in the holy days. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is. My life reflects that the Lord is upright. Amen. Can we say upright?
Upright.
He is my rock. Lord, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. That is. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we honor you today. Lord, we bless your name for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirit. Lord, somebody came in troubled and need direction. Lord, send the word, for your word declares that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And you order our steps through your word, so Lord, send the word to order our steps. And you say your word was for the healing of the people, Lord. Word to heal. Lord, send a word to deliver. Lord, send a word to set free. Lord, somebody came in this morning with a troubled mind and a troubled heart. Send a word to heal, oh God, that troubled mind. Send a word to heal that troubled heart. Lord, somebody came in with confusion and doubt. Lord, send a word to give them clarity of mind and thought. Lord, send a word in the name of Jesus. To bless our souls. For this we say thank you. Jesus' name, amen. So our message, let me give you our message, which will be coming out of this 15th verse. This is the Psalms. He said, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. So our message today is there is no unrighteousness in God. There is. And a lot of people say, well, what's the purpose of coming to church and trusting God? It seems like I'm not for God and God is not for me. Well, our second thought is God won't cheat you. Can we say praise the Lord? So many people that started out a long time ago from God have given up. Amen. Don't give up on God. Stay strong. Stay faithful to God. Why? Because there is no unrighteousness in God. Then he says the Lord is upright. Right? Upright means God is just as straight as a man. God don't have nothing crooked in him. God doesn't have nothing bent. So God is upright. It means our God is so faithful there's not a flaw in him. Can we say thank you, Jesus? We have flaws. But God is as straight as an arrow. You won't find no imperfections in God. We won't find God saying one word, one thing, and doing another. God won't cheat you. God won't mislead you. God will never let us down. Amen. How many know God is faithful?
Amen.
He's a faithful God. So he says, the Lord is upright. He is mine. Rock. Now that Hebrew word means, now this is the reference, this is the picture he's made. He said, first of all, God is straight. He said he's a rock. He's like a big rocky cliff. You ever see a rocky cliff? You don't move it. Amen. Go to the Grand Canyon. And you see those cliffs that have been there for thousands of years. That's what God is like. He's like a cliff. He's like the edge. He's like a rock. He's like the edge of a stone. That's how we can stand on God's promises. And because he's a rock, there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, unrighteous is the Hebrew word Abla. It means to have an evil intention. It means God doesn't have evil intentions. God doesn't have any evil persuasion. God won't mislead you. God won't misguide you. There is no injustices in God. It also means that God is fair and God is equal. God does not have an imbalance. Amen. God is straight. He's faithful. He won't let you down. So there is no imbalance in God. Well, what scripture do we know that represents that? And we know that God hates this. God won't be imbalanced. God won't have a false balance because Proverbs 11:1 said a false balance is an abomination before the Lord. And what that scripture actually represents is the merchants that were cheaters. God won't cheat you. Cheaters. This is what a cheater does. The merchants would have two scales or two stones. They used to weigh the products that they were selling with on a scale. It's a balance scale. If you ever seen a bakery balance scale. Amen. So what they would have is they would have, when they were buying your goods, they would have a stone, but it was a lighter stone. It wasn't an actual weight. So they would have a lighter stone when they were buying your goods, but then when they sold you goods, they had a heavier stone. God said, that's cheating. That's a false balance. God said, that is an abomination. So God will not cheat you. When you come to God, God won't weigh some stuff with one scale or one set of weights and then another way on the other side. God is not like that. The scripture says, concerning our God. How many know God's a personal God?
Yes.
I don't know about your God, I'm talking about my God. God's a personal God. But in Galatians 6:7, it says, be not deceived. God, you can't turn your nose up at God like he's done you an injustice. God, there is no unrighteousness in God. Can we just say hallelujah? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also. Now, you peruse your own life. Study your own life. What have you been sowing, and what have you been reaping? The 7th verse says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God said, this is my balance scale. All right? I have a scale. On one side of the scale, you're sowing to the flesh. On the other side of the scale, you're sowing to the Spirit. It's a balance scale. Say, so, why is my life out of balance? Which side of the scale? Are you sowing to the boss? Are you doing all the works of the flesh? And then you look up to the side of the head, the works of the Spirit, and say, how come I don't have none of you? God said, that's an imbalance. You need to bring a proper balance to your life. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Y'all ain't gonna talk to me, but I'm gonna talk anyway. Because we're trying to figure out why I'm not reaping what I think I should reap. Because we're not sowing what we ought to sow. But then he says, now, a lot of times, people get tired of doing the right thing. You ever meet people that say, I just get weary of doing right because it don't seem like it makes a difference anyway? I mean, I talk to people all the time. I say, well, Pastor, what's the difference? If I do good, I reap this. If I do bad, I reap it. So I just don't care. Don't be lukewarm. God is not unrighteous. So he says in verse 9, be not weary in, don't stop doing what's right. Keep putting that side of the scale that has the spirit. Keep sowing on that side. Keep building it up. Eventually, God is going to bless your work because God won't cheat you. There is no unrighteousness in God. God won't misguide you. God won't mislead you. God won't pay you dirt when you wait for gold. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So the problem is, what have you been reaping? That is your personal assessment. You need to examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. Well, if you're not sowing in the faith, you can't reap in the faith. Are you all with me? So say, well, Pastor, you don't understand how to live in this world, so I'll come to church when I get a chance to. God said, okay. Your belt, your scales are going, you're tilting that scale the wrong way. Because you're working on the flesh, but you are neglecting the spirit. So you got to have a proper balance. You can't just sow all to the flesh and think God's going to be pleased with you. Can we say hallelujah? So that's what he says. So he's dealing with God being upright. God is so upright. He's like a cliff. You can stand on that cliff and nothing's going to tear God down. Amen. And we know a lot of times you ever see people that started off right and ended up wrong? How do you start off right in God and end up wrong? Because you think God is unequal. You think God is unrighteous. That word unrighteous means in God's court that he won't judge you properly. That's what unrighteous means. In the court of God, he won't judge you properly. God always judges us right. I heard God tell, I heard Abraham when he was dealing with God, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Shall not the judge of all the earth. Does anybody know the judge of all the earth?
Yes.
His name is Jesus.
Yes.
You don't get to hear any damn well doing, he will do right. You know, we give a counsel a lot. Somebody said, well, the only reason I cheated on my spouse is because they cheated on me. Do right.
Hallelujah.
That might be a touchy subject. Still do right. Well, you can't let people walk all over you and mistreat you. God said, if I be for you, Lord, thank you. Who then can be against you? Still do right. Amen. He says in Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, it said that God is not unrighteous. In other words, God won't cheat you. God won't forget your good works. God won't forget how you've been living because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you've shown towards his name and that you know, my wife was talking yesterday. She said, somebody did, used to do this. I won't say what I say. I won't respond to that. Right? And that they used to minister. He said that they have ministered, but what? They are still ministering. So that's a past and a present and a future. The reason that we're not reaping in our eyes is because a lot of us used to, but we don't anymore. A lot of us have gotten weary serving God. Why? Because we think God is unrighteous. And we think that God has forgotten what we've done. God has not forgotten you. Amen. Because you might be suffering hardships and trials, God has not forgotten you. Let us go to Hebrews, the 31st chapter. I want to read verses 15 through 16. Now, once again, we're dealing with the fact that God won't cheat you. Now, don't raise your hand. But you don't have to respond with your mouth and act like God has cheated you. Your life reflects whether or not you think God has cheated you. When you don't have a mind to praise God, you think God has cheated you. If you don't have a mind to sacrifice to God, you think God has cheated you. A lot of people are living on the laurels of what I used to do. But what are you doing for God today? Amen. So Jeremiah He's trying to get them to change. Now we got to remember, let me set a scene for you in this teaching. Judah is about to be completely annihilated by the Babylonians. The city is burned, the walls are torn down, they've been taken into captivity back to Babylon. And Jeremiah is trying to encourage them, listen, though it's bad, God still hasn't forgotten what you've done. There are still some faithful people that God remembered. So they're looking, they're whining, they're bemoaning. Amen. Verse 15 said, the situation was so bad. He said, thus said the Lord. How many of the Lord is me? You can bank on that to the end. Yes. Thus said the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation. They weren't just crying, but they were doing bitterly. Rachel weeping for her children because they were taken into captivity. Amen. The beautiful, flourishing city of Jerusalem. It was burned down and the walls were torn down. How can we have hope when everything we trusted in seems to be apart? But the Lord said, thus said the Lord, refrain thy voice. Lord, speak to us this morning. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. Yes, it's bad. Yes, it looks deplorable. But don't you allow that to stop you from being faithful to God. Don't you allow
more.
Amen. I'm just saying, you realize your physique? How many Hearing, then what?
Speaking.
James said, be slow to speak. And what? So God wants us to start listening more and stop talking so much. Because we're digging ditches when we talk. Can we say hallelujah? So God won't ever cheat us. God won't reward us evil for good, and neither will reward us good for evil. Because God is faithful. God is perfect. Now, there's a scripture in Ephesians that deals with what a cheater is. Y'all want to know what a cheater is from the Bible? I know we got Webster, we got Oxford, we got Britannica, we got Wikipedia, we got Thispedia, Thatpedia, Dollarpedia. But what does the Bible say about cheating? Let us go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, I'm teaching a spiritual principle so we can get the message. Then we're going to have an actual application so we can see that God is not unrighteous. God won't cheat you, and God will never forget your work and labor of love. Ephesians 4:22. Is everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Now, God wants to bless you. God did not come for you to be messed up. God came to bless you. So the question is, why is my life out of balance? Because God is on the wrong side of the balance scale. Everything else is waiting, and we keep leaving God out. Look at somebody and say, reverse the balance. You got to reverse the balance. You got to put God as the greater weight and make everything else the lesser weight. Y'all want to talk to each other? They ain't going to get mad at you in church. They might call you later. But you need to reverse the balance. God has to be supreme. So Ephesians 4:22 said that you put off the surname. You got to get rid of your old way of life. The former conversation means your conduct of the old man. Where's the old man? The man that was not regenerated. The old man is the man that was not saved, which is corrupt according to the and be renewed in the spirit that you put on
the new man.
The new man.
Oh, yes.
So the reason that we're not reaping the spiritual benefits of the upright one is because we have visited the old man. Now, this, you know, we understand this scripture. Who is Paul writing to in Ephesians?
Church.
The answer is the church. That's us. How can the church, he be telling the church you need to put off your
old man?
When I've already been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and welcome to my life. He said, yeah, you used to be new, but you went back and picked up some old habits that were on the other side. He said, so what I need to do in order for me to bless you is I need you to have your mind renewed. Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of myself, of God. So the problem that the church has had is too much of us. So in essence, he said, get rid of you and put on the new man. What's the new man? He's renewed after Christ. He has a new mind. He has a new spirit. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Well, what? The new man, that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and what?
True
holiness. Wait for y'all. If y'all don't feel in your Bible, look it up on the screen. Which after God has created in what? Righteousness and
true holiness.
So there's holiness. There's true holiness, and there gotta be some other holiness too.
Amen.
So when your mind is renewed, listen. I don't misrepresent who I am in Christ because I'm living in true holiness. I'm living in righteousness. Amen. So we see from this passage of Ephesians, cheating is what is corrupt. Right? You got to put off the corrupt. It's what is a deceitful lust. Get rid of the lust. It is lying. And it's also misrepresenting the truth. That is cheating. God said, I can't bless that old man until it has changed and become righteous meaning I'm living in right standing with God until I have true holiness. Well, why does God require true holiness? He tells us in the book of Peter, for be ye holy, for I am holy. So we see that God will not be unrighteous. God will reward your work. It may not appear as though God is going to do it, but I'm going to use now a biblical illustration to show that God is not unrighteous. If you've done it, if you say to stand in court, God will reward you in his own time. That's why be not weary in what? For in you have a season that's coming if you don't quit. Right? So I don't receive my blessing because you got weary in well-doing, and you quit. So quickly, we're going to go to Esther. We're going to go to Esther chapter 2 and Esther chapter 6. We all know the story of Mordecai and Esther. I don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with Mordecai. Because Mordecai is a slave. He's in captivity in Babylon. Amen? And now, you know, if you ever go somewhere and say, they don't bother me. I'm a slave anyway. This ain't my country. This ain't my city. This ain't my community. This ain't my church. I don't care what you do. Thank God, Mordecai didn't have that mind. So Mordecai is sitting at the king's gate, and he hears something that as a true child of God is disturbed. A true child of God, when you hear something disturbing, you will speak up. Somebody said, well, I don't want to lose friends. If you lose God, you lost the best friend you ever had. The one of the sons said, what a friend. When you lose God, you lose everything. I'd rather lose my friends than lose my Savior. So Esther chapter 2, verse 21. We know that they kept him in Babylon. Verse 21 reads, in those days while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, which means God had elevated him to a position of being a judge, sitting at the gate, meaning you judge situation. Sitting at the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlain, Big Ben and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were mad and wroth, and sought to slay, lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So they were mad at the king, and they, what it means is they wanted to assassinate him. Amen. Verse 22 says, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof, and she went and told the king, she said, this is what Mordecai has told me. So they did an investigation, or an inquisition was made of the matter, and it was found out there that they were both hanging on a tree. But Mordecai didn't receive anything at this time. But it was written in the book of the prophets before the king. And now, if they had been some of us, he said, wait, my king, I just saved your life, and you ain't gonna do nothing better than that. All you gonna do is write something about me in a book. So, he writes it in a book, but we never hear that Mordecai complains or say anything. Now, for timeline, this is about 478 BC. All right, now we're going to jump up to chapter 6. Just to show you, God has a way of blessing you. We read in Jeremiah 31:16, your work, what? Shall be rewarded. Don't get weary. Don't quit on God. Keep doing good. He's going to bless you. So chapter 2 is around 478 BC. Chapter 6 is 5 years later. Now, most of us, if we didn't get it in a couple of months, I would go to another church. I'm just telling the truth, you know. Saints are some of the weakest people in the world today. Right? Because I want my blessing. You know, I want it now. You'll be some people that want everything right now. Amen. Abraham had to wait 25 years to get his blessing. Joseph was in prison 13 years. But they did quit on God. And God eventually blessed them. So 5 years later, God intervenes. God knows when and how to bless you. Because he is not unrighteous. And if you do something good and God don't bless you, that means God cheated you. God won't cheat you. Verse 1 says, now we know this is when evil Haman had connived a plan that he was going to kill all the Jews that were in the palace of Shushan and in all the 127 provinces in Babylon. So he had connived a plan. And the next day, He was going to the king of Shurus to execute his plan. Can we say, but God?
But God.
But God. He had a plan and the next day. But God knew the plan, and I thank God for his providential interference. I thank God for his providence. His providence means God was not unaware of what was taking place. So the next day, he's going to execute his plan. But God intervened that night. On that night, could not the king sleep? And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the prophets. Now, he could require any book. Is that right? But if he required any book, that book would not have recorded what Mordecai had done 5 years previous. He might not come when you want. He may not come when you expect. But he's an on-time God. Is he an on-time God? He's an on-time God. How you gonna say? But he is an on-time God. Yes, he is. So 5 years later, he didn't ask for a book about something else, but God is now intervening. Because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Well, why did it take 5 years? Because God knew what he was doing. And he was doing it in his own time. He said, in the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king, and it was found written. How many years later?
5 years.
But Mordecai still was faithful. He still was holding on to God. He still refused to turn. It was found written that Mordecai told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who had sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. Do you see how the mighty God we serve? He could have opened a book anywhere. I mean, a record is a big book. How does King Ahasuerus turn to the very spot in the book where Mordecai had moved? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of our God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways are. Yeah. The king could open anywhere, but he opened up because it was time for Mordecai to reap what he had sown. Mordecai was still faithful 5 years later. So I'm just going to just follow me with the rest of the story. So he reads the story. He said, well, this man saved my life. He said, well, what do we do in honor of him saving my life? And they said, king, according to the book, we didn't do nothing. Lord, we thank you. God is not unrighteous to forgive what you've done. He said, we didn't do nothing. The king said, well, we need to do something about this. So the next day, when the enemy came, Lord, I bless your name. If they ain't been for evil, but God. Minutes for good. Haman is coming into the door. The Axe King that hanged Mordecai on the gallows that he built in his house. And he approaches the king, and the king said, wait a minute, before you ask me anything, I gotta ask you something. He said, what should we do for the man that the king desired to honor? When you're full of pride, when you're full of self, what Haman was saying, who would the king desire to honor more than me? He said, I'm gonna put this stuff out there. I'm gonna laugh. Well, you should do this, king. Give him your old clothes you used to wear. Give him, I'm gonna build it up. I'm about to be paraded. I'm about to be honored. Give him the mule that you used to ride on. And the king said, yes, you got a good answer. He said, go find Mordecai. And go do exactly what you said. So now the enemy that should be riding on the mule is leading the mule. And the man that didn't ride is riding the mule. Well, why is he riding the mule? Because he didn't get weary in well doing, and God did not forget his word. So the enemy wanted to take him out, but now the enemy is being embarrassed. The enemy is leading the child of God that did not give up on God. The enemy is embarrassed. Why? Because of God's providential rule. Church of God, stay faithful to God. Stay faithful regardless what. It may not come when you want it, but rest assured of this, God will move in his own time. Now just think in our own mind, I'm not going to examine your life, I'm going to examine my life. How many times have I quit on God and given up because I didn't feel as though God was going to keep his word? When God, listen, upright means if God makes you a promise, God will fulfill the promise. If God said, well, it don't look like it, look at the Mordecai, it did not look like it. But at the right time, in the right season,
thank you for that message, Lord. All those that are able to stand, if you're standing, if you can just close your eyes for a few more moments and just reflect on what God has done in your life. Personalize what this message meant to you. After hearing this message about God and His righteousness and how He won't forget about all that you've gone through, your sickness, your healing,